Good. Hi, you guys. Glad to be here. Glad to be at a new meeting. I'm Bonnie, and I am a compulsive overeater and recovering bulimic. And I'm very grateful to and honored to be able to share my story. So what happened, what it was like and what it's like now, I'll just give you a little bit of the numbers. So I'm 68. I started program when I was 26, so roughly about 42, 43 years of away. However, I can't say that I stayed here for that whole time. My story is chronically relapsing. So I guess I wanted to preface this by saying that if you don't relate to the specifics about my story, don't be alarmed because it isn't about exactly what happened. It's more about the feelings. And for me, I've been an addict all my life. And what happened when I was very young, and I'll show a few pictures so you can A, see the extreme changes, not just in my body, but you can kind of just even see the way I look and how different I am. As a chameleon, I wanted to fit in, but I didn't learn that technique for many years. So as a child, and I'm doing this Big Book Awakening workshop, and they talk about the Al-Anon issues as chaos creators. Well, that was me as a child. I needed to find a way to get attention, and that was the way I could do it. So it was like the things that I heard is, oh my God, this kid's just too much. Even before that commercial, the Energizer Bunny, they call me some form of that. I was a motor mouth. I just kept moving. I was quite underweight because I hated food, and I don't know how that started or why. I liked sugar, and that was the only exception. And anytime I could get sugar, I would get it. But in terms of food, it was always like, oh my God, I can't eat this. I'm getting a headache. I would gag. If someone touched my food that wasn't part of my family, I wouldn't eat it. And so I did a lot of starving. Even as a child, that kind of started to change around puberty. I was about 84 pounds when I was 13, 14. And I remember one of my girlfriends went on the grapefruit diet. I don't know if anyone here is old enough. Some of you know the grapefruit diet probably. And I was going to go on it. Not that I really needed to lose weight. But I thought I might. So I thought that might fix me. And my friend Louise went down to 60 pounds and was hospitalized. And that was the first time, the first experience that I understood something about what I didn't know it was an eating disorder, but I knew that it was a stigma everybody was talking about her at school. I didn't want to be that. Okay. I wanted to fit in. So I kind of shied away from that for a while. And just also, and I hope this doesn't offend anyone, but my story is riddled with drugs and alcohol. So around 13 and 14, I was doing a lot of drugs already. I was smoking pot, I was stealing liquor from my parents' bar. And I got in a lot of trouble with that. And I kind of want to bring this up because the components of my addiction was that I was trading, constantly trading seats on the Titanic, and there were a lot of seats. I mean, I used fantasy, television as a kid. When it was drugs and alcohol, I used that. And it was a way for my disease to convince myself that, well, I'm not that bad because I would jump from one thing to another. So at 14, I did LSD and I put my head through a storefront window. And the ambulance was called and I was brought to a psychiatric ward. They had to stitch me up. And this is, I mean, 14. I remember when my son was 14, I looked at him and I'm like, I cannot believe how little he looked and that I was went through that. But of course, I was the talk of the town. It was the big news in my small town growing up. And that was the very first time that I actually heard of 12-step programs. I was part of my, I don't know what they call it at 14, but I was mandated to a family therapy, which of course I was the only one who showed up at the family therapy. My family was pretty dysfunctional. And they asked me to go to a 12-step meeting, an AA meeting. And I walked into that meeting and I was like, oh my God, these old hags that are sitting there chain smoking, I'm out of here. And so that was the only time I kind of heard of 12 steps until I was 26, many years later. I'd heard about it, but it was the first time I went. So through this time, I learned many tricks, bulimia. I used Ipecac. I struggled. And, how they say in the big book, countless vain attempts to control my eating. Oh my goodness. Like we were talking about this the other day in my homework group. And, I remember at, I think it was 19 or 20 when Shogun came out. It was like this mini series on TV. And I was so excited. We had a whole group, how group watches at once and everyone's drinking. And I was so taken by this show. And I just went home at the end and threw out everything in my kitchen and went to this Asian market. And I only bought Asian food because this was going to fix me. So I've had a couple of experiences with that. Macrobiotics was something that I embrace and adore because after my recovery, I could take it back. But before it didn't fix me. I needed recovery in addition to other things, outside help. But natural foods was going to fix me at the time. I stopped drugs. They said you could drink natural beer and wine. That's listed in the big book. I'm like, okay, I'll drink brown rice sake. That'll be good. Blacking out constantly still. And finally, I knew I was in trouble. The macrobiotics wasn't fi fixing me. The raw foods wasn't fixing me. So I went to my first AA meeting. And I think it was probably the third meeting. We went in a group car, like a carpool. And I was chatting with a guy in the back seat. And he says, in the last 20 minutes, all you've talked about is your food, your body, your weight. Have you ever considered going to OA? I was like, what? And Overeaters Anonymous, as we know, is not the sexiest of names. And I was like, I don't think so. I actually liked being an alcoholic. My idea was glamorous, poor me, I'm the victim. If you knew what I've been through, but compulsively overeating didn't really make the mark, but I went. He said, there's a meeting. It was in Cambridge, Boston, and I went to my first meeting. And guys, I did cry pretty much the whole time. The first time they said, let us love you until you can love yourself. That was it. And, welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, welcome home. And hearing that people were doing what I was doing, and there was all these wonderful people. It was probably about 60 people. So it was quite a large meeting. And that was it. I was hooked. And Overeaters Anonymous, since that day, whether I came or went, if I left, it was because I felt like a loser and I was afraid to show up. But I've never, it's like a love affair. I have met the most amazing people that have held me up. There was times I'd go to three meetings a day, whether it was, mixed with AA and NA and OA, and I was a mess. But step one eluded me. And even to this day, I need to do a step one every day. My subject is cunning, baffling, and powerful. Okay. Today, my biggest challenge and my biggest joy is connecting spiritually because I have tried every substance and it's not fixing me, you know. And then I've tried controlling people. That didn't fix me. What am I doing on time? Okay. I've tried sex addiction. Not that I thought, oh, I'm going to try sex addiction. That sounds like a good idea. But for me, I wanted to be safe in this world. And that meant being thin, because if I was thin, then a man would love me and that would fix me and then I would be safe. So that was the way my mind worked. And men were my higher power for many, many years. And I got into some really unsavory situations. I got into BDSM for a long time, which, you know, it's interesting because having someone have control over me when I was just constantly feeling like I needed to be in control was such a relief. All these things worked for a little bit. You know, it was like, yeah, the payoff was there. That's why I kept going back. And that's why I kept jumping from one to the other. But I guess what I found through the 12 steps is that it's my thinking that needs to be fixed. It's my ego. I am so sure I can do it. So, yes, I'm unmanageable, but powerless. Well, I don't know. I think I need to fix it. I better fix it. I need to control it. And so I have to really keep remembering. And it took me a long time, you guys. I walked into my first meeting and the people said, take what you like and leave the rest. And I was like, well, it's a good thing you said that because I'd have been out of here because I'm not a God person and I don't believe in this shit and I don't believe in that. And I'm smart. I used to think if you believe in God, maybe you're not that smart. You know, that was the way I grew up. My dad was a scientist and a very, very brilliant man. I mean, he was really famous in many circles. And I was the black sheep of the family, but I still took on that whole energy that I need to fix this. And to this day, every morning, I wake up, I do my meditation, and I watch those ego thoughts come over. Like, well, how do I look? What will people think of me? And when I used to think of those thoughts, I would get so mad at myself, like, oh my God, you bitch, what are you talking about? Don't think that way. And today they come up and I love myself. I'm like, okay, little girl, that's your default, but that's not really workable anymore. We have so many other choices. And I just gently try to detach from those thoughts and go to the great spirit, my higher power, you know? And I guess for me today, let's see, I'm going to show you a couple of pictures. So let's see, share. And then that. Okay. So this is me at my first birthday party, and I'm probably drunk on sugar. That's me right there. I'm so cute. And I thought my whole life I was hideous. The cutest thing ever. This is me right before that drug when I went through the window. So I'm getting tough there. As you can see, I have that tough look about me. Here's it me at 19, and I am really tough, you guys. So I thought. Here's me after I put on about 30 pounds. So here's the weight swing starting. Blonde hair. This is me when I got married the first time, and this is me 3 months later, plus 50 pounds. This is me in my first treatment center. I've been to four. Yes, you guys, I needed outside help. This is me at 26. This is my birthday in treatment. Saved my life. This is me at 90 pounds, probably about 6 months out of treatment. This is me gaining weight, and I think it's when I first got pregnant. Here's my little boy. Here's me pregnant. That is, I'll go a few more minutes to finish up. So you can see the weight swings, they became drastic. This is me at my second wedding. And this is me when I got pregnant again and I lost my baby. So the weight swings were 90 to 190. And that could have been more, but that was the last time I weighed myself. Here's me, and I used to dance. Here's me about 70 pounds more. So you get the idea. It's been a roller coaster, right? Today, I just want to talk about today. I'm 7.5 months abstinent. I had a relapse and I went back to the treatment center that I went to in Florida, which really saved my life. All the treatment centers were very 12 step. I still have my nutritionist there. I weigh and measure my food. There's times I don't, but most of the time I do. I don't eat flour and sugar. I have a sponsor that's right here. I love you. And then there's another sponsor. So I have two, one from the Big Book Awakening. I have three sponsees. We work the steps. I work the steps. Right now, I'm working the traditions. I wake up every day and I ask for guidance from my higher power for the day. The biggest thing that I can tell you guys, yes, I'd like to say I'm so connected to my higher power, and that isn't always the case. So 12-step work and service is a huge, huge part of my recovery. It's how my higher power works through others. Recently, I had some really hard times, and I managed to stay abstinent through it. So I'll tell you that just so you know that you can. I decided against my better thoughts that I was going to, after I lost 40 pounds, I had skin hanging and I was going to do a mommy makeover against my religion. I'm macrobiotic, I'm natural foods, I'm a goddess, blah, blah, blah. I'll never do plastic surgery. My vanity and my ego said, you need to do it to be safe. And I did it. And I didn't research it. And I am using a walker now after a month. I couldn't even cook my abstinent food. I had to have my husband do it. And then within 3 weeks, my husband was rushed to emergency surgery. And it was just like, oh my God. And you guys, I may not, if I even have a relapse like I had 7.5 months ago, it doesn't look like the way I used to binge and purge. But the feeling of not wanting to go on. And I had that emotional relapse last week where I felt like, I don't know if I can do this. And I hung on. And the way I hung on is I go to meetings, I stay in the middle of the herd, I share as honestly as I can. And this program has literally saved my life. If you, as you heard my story, that it's amazing that I'm still alive with the kind of abuse that I've done to my body. I'm so grateful for this program. I'm so grateful for the opportunity to share. And I really pray that some of these words might help another suffering compulsive overeater. Thank you so much for letting me share.